It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere I go. What does that song bring to mind? Does it give you hope? And if it does, hope for what? Hope for a joyous season. Hope for time spent with family. Something special you have had your eye on maybe all year long. I wonder if you have seen the commercial where the woman says, presumably to her husband, "I got us something on Black Friday sale." And she lays down two watches, a red one and a black one. One for you and one for me. He says, "I got us a little something too." And he takes her out to the driveway and he shows her two trucks. Brand new black one and a brand new red one. I always laugh because she runs to the black one, which is the one he went with, and automatically falls in love with it and is stuck with the red one. But then I think to myself when I see this commercial, how realistic is this? How many of you have ever received a brand new truck for Christmas? I know, right? I don't get it. I mean, I would like to. So if you feel like that's what you want to give me for Christmas, I mean. But if you look at it, it's just not realistic. It's not even something that most of us would, in our wildest dreams, hope for on Christmas morning. I mean, you might dream of it. It might be a fantasy, but an actual hope? I don't think we would realistically think that anyone's going to do that for us. Hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be, and or that events will turn out well. If there is no possibility that you can get what you want, then there is no reason to hope. To hope for it. If there is no possibility, then hope is useless. You can dream about it, you can talk about it, but if it's not possible, there's no reason to hope. To hope is to look forward to with desire and a reasonable trust. To look forward to. As Christians, what are we looking forward to at Christmas? What are we looking forward to at Christmas with a desire in our hearts? I'm not talking about just looking forward to. What a desire in our hearts. What is out there? What at Christmas time builds that desire? What are we looking for during this season? What is something that we really want? And we have reasonable trust that we might get it. We're not looking forward, really, if you think about it. We're not looking forward to the birth of Jesus with desire and reasonable trust, because it has already taken place. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we should. But we're not looking forward to the birth of Jesus. That's part of history. It's already been. You see, this is where we kind of miss the boat. You can't hope for something that has already happened. So we have to have a different kind of hope. And that goes not just for what we're hoping in the church and talking to each other about, but it has to be what we're projecting outside of the church to the world around us. We are celebrating that our Savior was born. But that's not where our hope is at Christmas time. Hope is different. The hope of the birth of a Savior, the promise of Christmas, goes all the way back in the Bible, actually to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God told the serpent that a descendant of Eve would appear one day and crush him. And of course, God was speaking to Satan. This promise was made over and over again in the Old Testament, and it was realized in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a very real hope for centuries. A promise from God, but that hope has been fulfilled. What should we be hoping for this Christmas? A different kind of hope. What should we be hoping for? What are you hoping for? You see, it's an individual question, because when I ask that, everybody has a different idea. There are all kinds of things going around in our head right now whenever I ask that question. There are things that we've been looking at that we would like. There is a hope for this season and how it will turn out. There is a hope that it will be smooth. There is a hope that there will be so much joy that we'll be overwhelmed. But where is our hope that should bring us that joy? Let us look at our scripture. See, a rather strange scripture to begin Advent, if you think about it. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, most of that does not sound like a reason for hope, does it? If you read that to the common person out there, they would say, well, that really doesn't sound like hope to me. The reason would be that most of their hope lies in this world. We are not to be happy when bad things happen in this world. I say that for this reason. I have spoken to a lot of Christians who will say, yeah, that earthquake was terrible, but praise God, Jesus is getting closer. I don't think that helps. I mean, you might have that thought in your mind, but that's certainly not helping in the circumstances. We should not think that way. We need to adjust our thinking to a certain point that, yes, we are hoping that Jesus is getting closer, but and we know that those things might be a sign that he is getting closer, but we have to minister to the world around us. And that really doesn't help. If you look closely at this verse, it is not telling us to hope for these things to happen. It is simply saying that they will happen, and we should take notice when they do happen. We need to have a Christian awareness, especially during the season of Advent. We need to have a Christian awareness of what is taking place on our world and what it may be leading to. We need to have a Christian awareness of what's happening around us. That is what this verse is trying to convince you of. Don't go out there and tell everybody, praise God, the world's falling apart. But praise God, there's a hope. Praise God, there's a hope. We Christian awareness. Now let me take a moment to teach, and not everybody likes when I do this during the sermon, but it's necessary in some cases. Simply put, when Jesus is speaking here, he is moving back and forth in future events, and you need to know that. The Bible can be very hard to read unless you understand some things like that. Sometimes from one verse to the next, it can move in time a great deal. And this is what Jesus is speaking as he prophesies these things to those around him. In verse 27, he moves to the second coming. And then in verse 28, he brings the focus back to the church age again. And if you read that all together and you clump it all together, you're going to be real confused. I would tell you that verse 25, 26, and 28 go together in verse 27. Does not necessarily. That's how you have to read it. He brings the focus back to the church age. Okay, now at this point I need to say something to you. Wake up. I just put you to sleep trying to teach you. Wake up. I want you to leave here understanding today. There's four verses here that you can learn something from. Four verses you can learn something from. So let me wake you back up for a moment. Let me wake you back up and listen to what it says. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That will happen. That will happen. But my personal belief is it won't happen until I'm no longer on this earth. It won't happen until Jesus calls me home. And that'll happen after verses 25, 26, and 28. We will see the signs of the end of the age. We will see the signs that this church age is coming to an end, as it tells us where we're not. We will see all the signs of this world in turmoil. We will see all the signs that this world is dying. We will see global warming. I'm sorry to put it that way. Not that I don't care about global warming, but we will see that because this world is dying. This earth was never made to last forever. There will be a new heaven and earth that will be made to last forever. This one was not. We will see this if we pay attention. We will see it. And then, I hope you're with me, Jesus will take us home. And then after 7 years, verse 27 will happen. That's how I read it. These things have begun to happen. We see it every day. But through it shines our hope, doesn't it? It is a different kind of hope. An eternal hope. A hope that the world around us does not understand. But I hope that I want you to understand today. It is a hope that nobody can take away. It's a hope that no one on this earth can remove from you. It's a hope that you can have through everything that goes wrong in this life. Because Jesus is coming for us. That's our hope. So I invite you, enjoy Christmas and everything that comes with it. But as Christians, don't be confused and don't lose track of your real hope. You are waiting for Jesus to take you home, and you should be saying, come for Jesus, come quickly. You need to be able to say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. That is important for you to hear that this morning, because when we say that, we take our minds off of our upcoming Christmas presents. We take our minds off of the next celebration that we're looking forward to. We take our minds off off of the things of this world, and we put our minds squarely where it belongs. We look squarely to the sky, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because you are my hope, and none of this is. Because you are my hope. I'll give it to you. It's a different kind of hope. And don't try to go and explain it to some worldly person, because they will not understand it. They'll look at you a little funny. That is your hope. It's different. It's eternal. But it's 100% your hope. Free of all the trappings of this world. Free of the criticism of the critics. Free of anything that the world might say against it. Different. That's why I pray for you during Advent. Different kind of hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.